Good morning, everyone. It's so good to be here. And last time I was here was with Namas Worship. I must admit that was just such one of those special Sundays because I was just standing there at the back and I just saw how God has just moved this congregation to such a great place. And I want to honor Philip and Anna Marie here, but especially you guys as well, because you're playing such an amazing role in part of this church and being a building block. And I want to encourage you guys, keep on doing the great work here. I want to say that again, fear not. That's the words I've got in my spirit. I remember, actually, the Lord reminded me, I think Retief said the same thing back then. I don't know if you remember it. He said that he's got a word for this congregation. I remember his words was, fear not. And I want you to hold that in the next couple of months in front of you, fear not. Fear not, because God is in control. God is building His church. So you're aware of the news at the moment, as Pastor Philip and Anna Marie is moving back to South Africa. So that's not news to you, and we are trusting with you that God is going to show us in due time the full picture of where and what. But I want you to fear not, and from my side, I want to assure you, we're doing everything. We're praying for you guys, but I'm excited about you. I'm not worried. I'm excited about you. I think it's a place where we are sometimes, and this week as we were in intercession, we were praying, and God said, you know, I'm taking you to a place where you're going to stand on your knees, not on your feet. And it's scary sometimes, because you're afraid to go there sometimes, because you know, if you go on your knees, it's sometimes desperation that's taking you. Sometimes God needs to take us to that place, because we're so proud and strong in our own strength that we do things sometimes standing. God says, sometimes I have to take you on where I force you on your knees. And I think maybe it's in the bigger picture as well, that God sometimes takes us to that place that we're so dependent upon Him. And I want you to remain in prayer with us for this congregation, for everybody, for your brothers around you, that we're going to pray and see how God is moving. And I tell you what, we've been seeing that in our church and in Swakop there. The power of prayer, we underestimate the power of prayer. A couple of weeks ago, our worship team started praying from 6 to 7 in church. Turn off the lights and just start praying. And I tell you what, things happen in that church, and I want to share at the moment, but things happen in that church that's never happened in that church for 6 years since I've been there. People started flowing in different areas in the spirit. And it's just to me amazing how if the moment we tap into prayer, the moment we unlock that, that's such a key that God has given us. We don't know the power of prayer. We underestimate the power of prayer totally. So I want to encourage you, do that as often as possible. But we're looking forward to see where God is taking you guys. And I want to thank you so much once again for what you are doing, the supportive role that you're playing here. I know some of you are out there, not here this morning, but you can tell them thank you so much from my side as well. And I want to share this message with you, something that's that I practiced in Swakop last week. So hopefully, they say practice make perfect, but I'm not perfect. So Chris will have to bear with me this morning. I've got my audience that I'm bringing with Swakop with me. Yeah, but it's a message that's in my heart this morning that I sense that is bigger than just for Swakop, but I sense for us in the spirit, every child of God, that we have to be careful. But the message called Defining Moments That Shape Our Lives, and we've been here for... Since Wednesday, our kids have been playing sport and taking part of the private school sports weekend. And now it's funny, I told my wife yesterday, you've got these two camps. You've got so many sports going on there. It's netball, soccer, rugby and hockey. That's it. And anyway, so we were on this one side because I only got girls. It's the netball side. You don't even see the other people. Then we've got people from church on the other side. You have to literally walk there for about a kilometer or so, but they've got their gazebo up there and it's just boys and all they do is just play rugby. And they even had a fight or two there yesterday, it looks like. So totally two different camps, but our girls, they were fortunate. They had a good coach and they won all the games. But there's a thing, as I was standing there, I watched it, so many games, and you realize how they work so hard to get the ball from this place and off. Never watched netball until I've got girls now, so I have to. But I start enjoying that because they win. Anyway, but when they get to that place where they have the opportunity to throw the ball, they got that one opportunity, or they miss it, or to shoot. That's the word they use. And you've got that moment that you need to do what you need to do. Otherwise, you don't get another moment if somebody else can grab the ball or something. And that's a defining moment for them to score. In life, it's also filled with a lot of defining moments. I think about my own life. The times and places that God's Spirit will show up, if I can put it that way, or appear, or His presence is here. And then it's up to us what we do in that moment that becomes a defining moment. Think about that for a moment. Let's go back to Scripture for a moment, you know. Abram, think about Abram. Abram sat around his fire, and the next thing, God is there. So, Abram, look up, man. I want to talk to you. You're going to have an inheritance. Look at the stars. Look at all of that. That's just how many people you're going to have. So your seed. And think about Abram, the thoughts he must have had at that moment. God, are you serious? God, I mean, how are we going to get to that? But anyway. And then we carry on. There are so many other. Gideon, under the terebinth tree. God visits Gideon and he says to Gideon, Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor. And straight away, Gideon thinks he's got the wrong person. He's got the wrong address. And then the Lord have to remind him and speak to him again. Say, I'm speaking to you, you mighty man of valor. Because sometimes, this is the thing, God sees something in us that we do not see in ourselves. Even at this stage, and I was talking to my wife the other day, you know, I'm comfortable to say that I trust God with my heart because I don't even know my own heart. I'm comfortable to trust God with my future because I do not even know, well, I don't know my future, but I know that He knows my best and He will always act in my best interest. I remember, you know what, when we moved to Swakopmund, I won't tell you my first thoughts initially. You think, oh, Swakopmund, everything is rusting there, everything, all of that. I'd rather go to Windhoek. Anyway, no, nevertheless, and we're so happy there. You know, God plants you at certain places sometimes and seasons. But we know that God's got our best interest. He knows your heart better than yourself. Anyway, get carried away. It's not the point. And we see that in the New Testament as well. Paul on his donkey on the road of Damascus. It's not about the donkey that he fell off the donkey, because every one of us can then fall off the donkey and then have a moment with God. But suddenly, the light, there's an angel, then Jesus appears. And there's a defining moment in Paul's life that he needs to make a decision. Then we see that with John on the island of Patmos, where the Lord appears to him and he writes Revelation. But it's a defining moment. I think about my own life. One night at a concert, and I hear the Spirit of God, and the next thing after the altar call, I find myself at the back of the stage sobbing, crying out to the Lord. And the next thing, the next morning, I realized, God, there's something that helped, that changed there. That night, I gave my heart to the Lord. That was more than 27 years ago. And so, we walk through life, and there's another moment, and then another moment. And so, those defining moments start becoming key moments in our lives. They almost become memorial stones when you think back. And it's not just the day when we met Christ. I found, even after that, there was so much or so many defining moments in my life, even in my marriage, even in with my children. And that day, I had a moment, I had an encounter with God. But here's the thing, and I want to put a question out here. I want us to think about it. Can we set those defining moments in our lives that shape us? Can we set the defining moments in life that shape us? Let's go back to the Word and then we see. There's a story in John 5. If you got that up there, can we? Yeah. I've got the New Living Translation here. So maybe I should read from that one. Doesn't matter. Let's carry on. After this, John 5 verse 1. This is a story about a lame man that's lying in Jerusalem and Jesus is approaching him. Afterwards, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Some translation says holidays. What's that one saying? After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. The feast of the Jews. Now, my translation says some of the holy days. Inside the city near the sheep gate was the pool of Bethesda with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed lay on the porches. waiting for a certain movement of the water. For an angel of the Lord came from time to time and stirred up the water, and the first person to step in after the water was stirred was healed of whatever disease he had. Now remember, we're asking ourselves the question, what are the things, or can we set the defining moments in life that shape us? That moment when you know that you encountered God. Can we set such moments? I want you to see, because this is such a moment that's kind of about to take place. But let's just stand still at the scripture. There's so much detail in these 15 verses that we don't want to run over that. And the first thing I want you to notice there, can we go back to verse 1 there? After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. A feast of the Jews. A feast of the Jews. And then we see in the story as it's being unfolded that there was another thing happening, that the angel of the Lord would come at certain times. I remember as a child, you would see that picture. I don't know if you, in the Bible, you had a big spoon and the angel would go like that. But that's, I don't know how they stirred the water, but that's just the imagination of a child. But you would see that the angel of the Lord would come, the water would stir at a certain time, is what some translations say. So we have the Feast of the Jews, a holy day, and we have a certain time. And then we also see it's happening at Bethesda, and it's happening where there are five porches and a lot of sick people laying there. So there's a lot of detail in there. Let's just go back to that word Bethesda. Bethesda means the house of grace, the place of outpouring, the place of outpouring. I want you to see that, the place of outpouring. In other words, there's a specific destination, there's a specific place where something specifically on a specific time is about to take place. And I want to say to you this morning that I sense God is bringing us back to that place where we need to become sensitive to the specific time, to specific place, and specific moment. Stumbling over my words. But it's necessary for us to sense that in the spirit, when is the defining moment? Now is the defining moment in this place, right now. Can we just give God an amen? Amen. And I'm telling you, for children, as children of God, we need to get to that place that we become sensitive again. When God is moving, when it's right now here, even if it's uncomfortable, if it's at work and God is moving here, that I'll be tuned in and say, Lord Jesus, here I am. It's maybe somebody that I didn't expect, or a person that you're using right now at an uncomfortable place, maybe, or a comfortable place. But Lord, I sense you and you're here and I'm present. And I want us to get to that place. And I want to encourage you this morning through this, that we get to that place that we are present when God is present. I tell you, we will have so many more defining moments. So here we have Bethesda, the place of outpouring, the house of grace, which I believe also speaks future and the prophetically of the church. The house of grace. I sense that this is a place for grace this morning. A place where we can walk in, come as we are. The invitation is always to everybody that's coming through those doors, come as you are. But it will always be, you don't stay as you are, because Christ transforms us. Hey, if you sit in this place too long and staying as you are, then you're not having an encounter with Christ. Or otherwise, you're having an encounter, but you refuse to conform. And it's not whether you can experience Christ or His presence, but it's what you do with His presence. You know, there's so many people in the charismatic circles that we want experience after experience. We run after another, I want to say, prophet, and after this prophet, because we just want another. We almost go on charismatic drugs, I want to say. We just want to experience God. And we want to experience God in this church, and then we run to this conference. And we become travelers, almost, I want to say. And this, let me experience a little bit. What are you doing with the presence of God? Is that transforming you? Is that defining moment transforming you? My question this morning for us. And we have that in this situation where this man is lying at Bethesda, the house of grace, the place of outpouring. And I want to say it out loud there this morning, because it's my heart, that our relationship with the church in general, okay, if you planted here, praise God. If you're not planted here, get planted somewhere. If it's not here. I don't know everybody that well, so I can say that. But I want to say it for the record, that your relationship with the church will determine how healthy you are, spiritually speaking. With God's church. I'm not saying with Shofar, in general. If you would expect God to pour His Spirit out on you, if you would expect God's grace to flow freely to you, and I'm not saying it's limited to church, I'm just saying, in that relation, you will be healthy. The place of outpouring. Because God is determined that we come together in humility, coming to you, and this is a place of outpouring. This is a house of grace. It's a moment where God wants to move. And I want you to see that. So what's happening here is we've got 2 days. And the first thing I want us to notice, and we're asking ourselves the question, can we set the defining moments? There are certain things, 3 things I want to share this morning. How our relation to that, how we affect or how we relate to that will determine whether we have those defining moments. The first thing we want to notice there, that there was a feast of the Jews. Some Jewish holy day, some Jewish holiday. Sunday or Saturday, okay? So they're having their Sabbath, the Jewish Sabbath, or Jewish holiday. And then there was a certain time when the angel came. In Greek, the word time, so we're talking about time here, if I can help you here. We're talking about time. In Greek, the word time is not just time like we have it, one word for it all. They've got 2 words for that. The one is chronos. Do I pronounce that right? Chronos. Okay, you know it. Okay, that's when you look at your watch. I know some of the watches got that as well. But the normal time as we have it. Seconds, minutes, hours, days. Carry on. Years. Many years and. That's the time we have. And that's the time we know. But there's another word in Greek that they use. The word called kairos. Kairos. Do you know what kairos means? Kairos is not the time as we know it, minutes and months and years. Kairos is a specific time set apart by God for his purpose. That's why they could relate to that. When it's a kairos moment, I want to say to you, that was what was happening at that moment right there. That was a kairos moment when the angel would come, stir the water, a time set aside by God for his purposes. And right now, at this time, I believe, during a service like this, whenever we are there, God can set the kairos moment in the midst of our chronos and says, this is my time, it's set aside for my purpose. Are you awake? You see, if we are continuously thinking with a chronos mindset, within our little world, in this thing, our watch, and we try and order and like almost like we're the with a customer and God is the waiter. God, it's just after 10. I have to go at 10:30. If you haven't performed, you haven't given me the message, or you haven't done what I want, I'll see you next week. And hopefully, God, you can do the thing for me. Our relation to this will determine whether we will have defining moments. What am I trying to say to you? God is not on our watch. He's not working according to our time. Right now, I cannot answer certain questions about the future, about the church, about a lot of things, because I don't know. I'm not in God's. I don't know about this. And God hasn't yet revealed to me, because God's timing and my timing is not the same. And guess what? If we want to experience more of God, we'll have to get to that place where we have an eternal mindset and say, Lord Jesus, we think about chronos and we think about today and we don't think about tomorrow. But Lord Jesus, help me to make decisions based upon eternity, not based upon the here and the now. Because if I make decisions upon the here and the now, I'm probably going to miss out on the kairos moments. And I want you to see that the Jewish people missed out on a lot of things because they've got their holy day. And in those 5 or 6 days, you're allowed to do certain things and you can only do, and we'll see that as it unfolds in the story, that on certain days you're not allowed to do certain things. And guess what? Jesus would actually come on that specific day that he's not allowed to do certain things, and he would do that. Isn't it interesting that God would often come against the norm? And I'm not saying he's a rebel. I'm just saying he's coming against our norm. Let me put it that way. Not against his norm, against our norm. Because we've got our rules, our regulations. We would come to church on Sunday, which is great. But hey, man, I've got my box. I come to church on Sunday. I've got the 1.5 hours I set aside for that. Outside that, I already got plans. I need to do that. And then tomorrow morning, God, I'll see you tomorrow morning maybe for about a 15, 20, half an hour. I don't know how long. It doesn't matter. But the Lord, I'll see you maybe a little bit later again. And we expect God to move within those time frames. Guess what? We're going to miss out on a lot of kairos moments if our relation to time is like that. this man could sit there. He could have sat there and said, oh, no, it's a wrong day. Jesus is appearing on the wrong day. This is a holy day. He's not supposed to ask me all these questions. Let him just pass. But his healing took place outside the norm. It took place on the day that's against Jewish custom that was taking place. So in other words, what are we saying to one another this moment, at this time? Our response to time affects the defining moments in life. I don't know whether I should go there. If I make you angry, then go back to Swakop and then I'm not welcome again. Can I challenge you? Huh? Can I challenge you on time? Our relation to time says a lot about our relationship with God as well. If we continuously enter into His presence late, never worry about, let me talk about Swakop Moon. Okay, we're going to talk about Windhoekia. Only Chris can tell them the secret there. I said it to them in the church the other day. I said, guys, if we miss church half of the worship and we miss, and I know I'm stepping on toes right now as a father as well as people with children, then you miss a big part of God. Because church this morning is not me preaching. That's not just that, with all due respect. I'm just another building block like you guys. Church is the whole package, and it's even outside there as well. Coming to God, we cannot choose which parts we want. Oh, I like that one. Let me just miss the offering because I haven't got something in my pocket here this morning. Whatever. That's a part of worship that I'm bringing unto God. And if you do that, and I'm not saying occasionally, I'm talking about when we have a habit of doing that. That's when we need to have a chat and talk to one another. Say, listen, I notice that you are continually doing this. You actually, can I help you? You're not understanding a part of God. Worship is such an integral part of what we do here. So if we miss out on worship, that's not okay. That's not okay. Can we just say that to one another? It's not okay. Because you miss an integral part of who God is. I'm bringing something unto you. I'm not just here to sit and listen what somebody is about to say to you. And it's our relation to time. Wherever we go, in our meetings, when we come to God, our relation to time says something about our perspective of God and about our defining moments. But look at this story. It's becoming more interesting. Verse 5, can we go there? One of them lying there had been sick for 38 years. Notice that, 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else gets there ahead of me." And Jesus said to him, Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." Instantly the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. Let's just stop there, because there's so much truth here as well. We've got a lame man here. Remember we said time is one of those, our relation to time. Now we've got another one coming here. We've got a lame man lying there, and he was lame for 38 years. We don't know how long he's been lying there. But what we know is that Jesus comes there, and then Jesus asks him a question there. "Would you like to get well? Do you want to be healed?" Notice his answer to Jesus. It's not a yes or a no. "Lord, I can't." "No, I've asked you, do you want to be healed? Do you want to get well?" "Lord, I can't. I've got nobody to take me there. I've got nobody to put me. Somebody else jumps ahead of me." Here's the thing. That man, I don't know how long he's been lying there. But somewhere along the line, he's been lying there for so long that his mindset started changing. That he started believing, "I can't be healed." And sometimes, I believe there's a word for many here this morning, that we are in this current situation for such a long time, and we see our life, and we see the mess, and we sometimes struggle, and sometimes we don't get past a certain point, and we just admit, this is how life should be. And then we start believing those things. And God says, "Do you want to get healed?" No, Lord, I can't. You don't understand my situation, Lord Jesus. And we start believing those lies of our life. And Jesus says, "No, you want to get healed? Answer the question. I want to ask you this morning, do you want to get healed? If Jesus asks you this morning, do you want to move closer to me? No, Lord, you don't understand. We're so busy at home. You're so busy. I didn't ask you if you're busy. I didn't ask you about your family. I didn't ask you about your work. I ask you, do you want to move closer to me? Do you want to grow closer? Yes or no? That's just a yes or no this morning. And we tend to gravitate towards that place, like this man that sometimes says, Lord, you don't understand. And we don't ask the question. But then something happens. Because Jesus realized there's a problem here. There's a mindset problem here. We'll have to challenge that. We'll have to challenge that. Now look at the way what Jesus is saying to him. Jesus told him, the way Jesus is healing him. Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. Don't miss this. This man was lying there for 38 years. Oh, not for 38 years. He's been lame for 38 years. So in his mind, he's never walked. He started believing that. Now Jesus could have chosen a lot of other ways to heal this man. Come on. If you've read scripture a couple of times, you see there are many ways. My favorite one is always the spitting one, eh? It breaks all the religion in church. Tani daughters, can we do that? Huh? It breaks the religion. I see sometimes people go, no, don't do that in church. Also, man, that's what Jesus did. So I don't know what it sounded like. I probably did the same one here as well. Okay, let's stop there. We don't know. It doesn't tell us. The scripture doesn't tell us. Or the mud. Anyway, Jesus could have taken him by hand, picked him up, because he knew, shame, this guy never walked in his life. This guy, he doesn't know what it means to walk. Let me just pick him up, help him, and then he will be okay. But Jesus knew, if this man wants to prosper in life, we'll have to challenge his mindset first. So he gives him a command that's already, but it's against his mindset, that's so engraved there. I can't walk, because this is his answer to Jesus. I can't, sir. Never walked in his life. And then Jesus says to him, get up and walk. Stand up and walk. Not hold his hand and say, hey, listen, let me help you. Just give you a push. And then what happens? The impossible happens on the other side of his mindset, on the other side of his act of faith, on the other side of his obedience. And I want to say to us this morning, you don't know what's waiting on the other side of your obedience to God. You don't know, and we don't know this morning, what's waiting on the other side of our acts of faith for us. There's some of us, you're sitting with words of God be spoken over you, and telling you about your future and where you need to be involved and where you should be. And all that's waiting there is just God that's waiting upon you. Stop that nonsense of you waiting for God. God is waiting more for us than we're waiting for Him. The majority of the time, we are not ready to move with Him because we are not ready. God, I mean, since when are we waiting for God? That we are so arrogant, I want to say. God is waiting upon us. It's only because we're sometimes not ready. Then we sense that we're waiting upon God. No, we're just probably in a process that we need to get shaped and formed till we are ready to that place that God can use us. But there's some of us this morning at places where we're operating, and God says, I'm waiting upon you. Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk in the Spirit. And the moment we relate to that act of faith, and that's the second one this morning, our relation to acts of faith, accompanying acts of faith, will determine whether you will have a Kairos moment. That man could have sat there or lie there and say, oh no, I don't believe that. I never walked in my life. I can't. But he had a Kairos moment. He had a moment when he had to face Christ and say, well, I'm going to believe that, and then I'm just going to do that. It's often that God would come in our situation where it feels impossible. And I'm talking about, not talking about being stupid. I'm talking about hearing the voice of God, being able to discern, this is God speaking to me right now. It doesn't make sense, but I'm going to obey Him. And often, it will ask an accompanying act of faith, because faith is passive. It's active, sorry. Hopefully you listened. It's not passive. You cannot sit in front of TV, or you cannot sit here in church and tell me you've got faith. Faith has got legs. You got to do something about that. We can't be great people of faith, sitting here singing songs, listening to sermons, and then out of week. Next week we're back here. Oh, we people of faith, man. People of faith need to go out there and try things in the spirit. Or what they've heard God is saying to them. That man at a moment, his destiny would change, but it came through his relation or his obedience to accompanying acts of faith. If we want to receive God moments, we'll have to move in faith. We'll have to move with the Spirit of God. And you'll see things in areas of your life moving, or where God is moving, where you've never seen it. You cannot grow. Come on, people. You cannot grow in the Spirit if you're not moving in faith with Him. With you, and I can just talk about, you know, gifts of the Spirit. That moment when you first experience a tongue, even when you were baptized with the Holy Spirit, that first moment when people were praying for you, their mind started kicking in. I'm making this up. Oh, this is wrong. I don't know what your experience was. But a lot of people are experiencing that. But then you need to move in faith and say, Lord Jesus, now it's not about the mind. This is not about the natural right now. This is not about what I'm experiencing here. I'm going to move in faith. And then the next time when you hear a tongue or experience a tongue, God gives you interpretation. Now you're like, oh, what are they going to say when I'm sharing that? Maybe I'm wrong. But guess what? You need to move in faith in order to grow. And maybe we are wrong, but that's fine. At least you tried. Good luck to all those that sit on the side that's so opinionated and so discerning, but they've never done it themselves. But the Spirit of God is upon them. I'd rather move with those that are moving, because God can steer the moving ship. We can't sit at the harbor and expect God to say, oh, God, take us to that side. Don't start moving, man. Get up and walk. And I sense there's a word for that, and we'll pray for that at the moment. Get up and walk in the area of your life. It's time to take ownership, and God will give you kairos moments. Isn't it interesting that Jesus in Matthew 28 verse 19, where did he promise his presence? With those two letters. With the goers. Those that go. That's why missions, and we can, it's easy as that. Why is God's presence so strong there? Because Jesus said, I'll be there. Because if you go, I'll be there. If you struggle to experience the presence of God, go, man. Go to the hospital. Go wherever you want to go and pray for people. But it's a simple solution to experience the presence of God. And I believe it with my heart. I believe it honestly with my heart. Whenever the presence of God is dry in my life and I don't sense Him, when I get into my car and I can just go to the hospital and pray for one person, and suddenly I experience the presence of God. Because He promised me, at least I'll be there. So you find that place. You find the route and you'll find God. And that His presence. Let's finish the story. I know you see your eyes are blinking. You need coffee. Huh? Danny Doris. Not yet. Instantly the man was healed. Verse 9. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath. So the Jewish leaders objected. Hey, Taliban. Sorry for that word. They said to the man who was cured, you can't work on the Sabbath. The Lord doesn't allow you to carry that sleeping mat. But he replied, the man who healed me told me, pick up your mat and walk. Oh, the story is interesting. So who said such a thing as that? They demanded. The man didn't know, for Jesus had disappeared into the crowd. But afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and told him, now you are well, so stop sinning or something else. Even worse may happen to you. This is good, man. The religious story. Now the rest of the story. The rest of the story starts to unfold. We've got another couple of people being joined. The religious crowd. The church. I don't want to say the church crowd, because we don't always connect that to church. We were at the religious crowd within the church. Let's put it that way. Why are you healed? Man, I don't care. I don't care who that, if we did that. All I know is I'm healed. Wouldn't you act like that as well? If you couldn't walk for 38 years, and now you can walk, and there's somebody religious, not somebody out there, religious, and tell you, oh, you're doing the wrong thing, man. Why are you walking? You're carrying your mat. Who did that? You know what I will say to him? I can't say that in church. Anyway. I said, the helmet, yo, man. I can walk. I don't care. That man healed me. I don't care about your rules. I don't care about those days. I don't care about your time. It happened not on your time. It happened on his time. And I'm happy with that. And I was willing to obey him and to tap into the Spirit and to move with that. Guys, we'll have to get out of our world into his world if we want to experience those kairos moments. We'll experience so many more of that, not just in church, but in cell group, at work, when the Spirit of God is present there, and it's not within our theological framework. So here's the thing. What happened here is Jesus heals this man on the holy Jewish holy day. His relation to time is not their relation to time. His corresponding act of faith is challenging that man's mindset. And then he doesn't even tell them who he is. And we see that often. But in this case, I believe there are two specific reasons why Jesus never told this man who he is. Because he's the first one. Can I give it to you, which I sense the Spirit of God is saying to us? This man couldn't walk for 38 years. If he had the CV of the prophet beforehand, Jesus that was in Nazareth and Jesus was in Capernaum and all of those places, and he read the CV of Jesus. Jesus healed the other day, healed two guys there. Jesus healed a blind man. So he studied his CV. If he knew that beforehand, you think it would have been easier for him to obey? Definitely. Definitely. But that would have been obedience in the natural. Listen to me, people here. You need to get this. That would have been obedience in the natural, because he could study on the paper or what people told him. Because back then they told stories. They would tell, oh, did you hear what happened yesterday? Because that's why the Bible says in Deuteronomy they had to tell the children over and over about the miracles of God. So they were talking about this man that was going around healing people. If he would have known that, Jesus could have never changed his mindset, challenged his mindset. Because it's easy. Oh, I heard about him. Yeah, it's good. That man's good. Let me just do it and try it out. Nothing to lose. But because Jesus wanted him to listen in the spirit, tap into the spiritual man. Here's the thing. All of us in this place right now, you are natural man, but you're also spiritual man. Your spiritual man was alive even before your natural man was alive. Even before you were conceived. Even before you were born. There was a spiritual man. And God spoke you into existence. That spiritual man is often subject to the natural man because we feed the natural man more. And we live according to the natural and what we see and what we feel. Our time and our. But when we come to Christ, we realize the need. The spiritual man is enlightened. We have the need to come to worship something. But then suddenly we realize there's something inside of me that needs to rise up. In other words, we need to walk in the spirit. And for that man to get to his miracle, his spiritual man had to recognize that this wasn't an ordinary man. Remember, he didn't know Jesus. So now a stranger comes to him. So the only way how he could connect is that the two spiritual men could connect. And in the spirit, he could receive that and sense that the command that he just received is not an ordinary command to get up and walk. Your spiritual man is out there looking for him to connect continuously. Our spiritual man. And whenever God says a word, our spiritual man needs to be ready to say, yes, Lord, I pick up that sin. I pick up that wave. I pick up your voice. It depends upon us whether we feed our spiritual man or we feed our natural man. Whichever one you feed will become stronger. And most probably, the one that you will feed and the one that's stronger will lead you as well. And we live according to, that's why it's possible this morning, hear me this morning, it's possible in this place, as children of God, maybe everybody in this house, in this place this morning say, well, I know Jesus, I've got a relationship with Jesus. But it's possible that you live a carnal life, being led by the flesh with the stamp of God. I'm a Christian. Christian, but I still live a carnal life. I'm not living according to the Spirit of God. Yeah, you're probably going to heaven. But you're not living according to the Spirit. You're missing out in Kairos moments. And it's our challenge to get to that place where our spiritual man becomes stronger. The last one. Remember I said two things why I believe Jesus didn't reveal his identity. In John 14 verse 12, Jesus said that when he leaves, and that whole chapter, John 14, and even John 16, John 15 talks about the vine, but those two chapters are probably some of my favorite chapters in Scripture, because it talks about Jesus and about the Holy Spirit, when he has a discussion with his disciples just before he's leaving. And I can see them sitting around that fire, see them having intense discussions about, they are worried about Christ is going away, and he needs to assure them. And then in John 14:12, I believe, he says to them, but don't worry, when I leave, you're going to do even greater works than I do. You know, the miracles I've done, I'm going to do, not because you are special, just because the Spirit of God is present in you. And if you walk in that, you'll do that, greater works. Here's the thing. If that man, and I say that with all due respect, if that man only held on to Jesus, and Jesus had to leave, which he did, and he built it around that, he would have never experienced the Holy Spirit through other people. Here's the thing. We can miss Kairos moments if we do not honor one another. The Spirit of God in one another. Let me put it that way. In other words, what am I trying to say to you? Jesus' identity wasn't revealed to him. That man didn't study CV, but he could sense in the Spirit, there's something here. Then Jesus, on purpose, didn't reveal his identity so that he can get something in the Spirit. That when Jesus leaves, he will be able to sense in the Spirit, this is a man of God again. Because there's another miracle for him. That miracle didn't stop that morning when he was healed. I believe there are many more such defining moments. For that man, there were many more defining moments waiting. But in order for him to experience those defining moments, he had to be able to recognize in the Spirit with the spiritual man, who are the men of God. Where is the Spirit of God operating? John 13, verse 35. I'll close with that. It says, you shall not see me until you say, and it says actually in verse before, the part of that verse says, your house is left to you desolate. Woes en leeg, say Afrikaans. And you shall not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. People, our relation to people affects our defining moments. The moment we create an alt culture of honoring one another, being sensitive to the Spirit of God in the whosoever year, we're going to sense or experience defining moments. So let's draw a conclusion here and then we pray. We cannot set the defining moments. We cannot set that. But we can position ourselves for defining moments. Through the way we relate to time, the way we have accompanying acts of faith, and the way we honor one another and the way we relate to people. The Bible says, and I believe in Matthew, he says, if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. If you receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man, you receive a righteous man's reward. And it has nothing to do with title. Nothing to do with title. I hate it when we give ourselves titles for certain reasons. And yes, there's certain places I've got nothing, but I'm saying when we start building platforms for ourselves so that people can honor. If we are in the Spirit, if we are at that place where we walk and we are honoring one another, we will be able to sense the Spirit of God is moving here. Let's just give honor right now. Let's just listen. Let's just position ourselves for this Kairos moment. Not for Tani Doris, but for the Spirit of God. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Can I have some music here? Maybe you're here this morning and I want to give you opportunity. I don't want you to look around. I just want you to give you opportunity. Maybe today is a defining moment in your life. Maybe you walked in here, don't know your background, but you're confronted with the truth. You're confronted with your own life. You know that things are not right at this moment. That your relationship with God is not healthy. That in fact you don't have a relationship maybe. You're not certain about that. I want you to come to him this morning. Say, Lord Jesus, here I am. I'm not certain about my relationship. I'm not sure whether I actually have a relationship with you. While nobody's looking around, I just want you, where you are, nobody's going to look. We're not going to embarrass you. Just to raise your hand and say, that's me. I need to make that prayer. I need to get to that place. This is a defining moment in my life. 27 years ago, I had that opportunity when somebody else extended that invitation to me and say, this is your night. This is your moment. Thank you, Jesus. Just where you are, just raise your hand and I'm just going to give you opportunity. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and I sense that God is saying to some of us here, you've got words spoken over your life. They're dormant. But the only reason why they're dormant is because you haven't stepped out in faith. In other words, God is waiting on you. You're not waiting on God. God is waiting on you. And God's command to you in that area of your life to take ownership is stand up and walk. Stand up and walk. I want you, as a prophetic sign, as a sign of hearing God's voice this morning, I'm not going to call you to the front, but just where you are to say, Lord, I'm hearing you. I see that area in my life. I need to take ownership, and I'm going to stand up, and I'm going to walk just where you are, just to stand, raise, and stand where you are. And say, Lord, I hear your voice. This morning, I'm going to stand up and walk. Thank you, Jesus. The eyes can remain closed for a moment. Here's the thing. I'm not going to pray for you because this time you need to stand up and walk. Nobody's going to pray for you because you got to stand up and walk. That's all. This morning, I don't sense God is saying encourage you. I'm not going to encourage you. It's just a place between, a moment between you and God. And say, God, I heard your voice. I sense that in the spirit. And God, I'm going to, in a move in the spirit, I'm going to do what you asked me to do. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for every person here that's hearing your voice and say, Lord Jesus, I hear you. And prophetically, Lord, I want to pray that over every person that's standing here, Lord, that we will take big steps in faith, Lord. Huge steps in faith, Lord. But it's steps in obedience rather than just steps in faith, Lord. And Father, I speak that over every person, Father, that as we take those steps, Lord, that we will see your presence with us, your accompanying presence, Lord. Father, where we're afraid, Father, that you'll come alongside us and say, fear not, fear not. Father, I thank you, Lord, that we will be bold, Father, but our boldness will not be in ourselves, but our boldness will be in you this morning, Father. We'll have a humility, but Father, our boldness is so in you, Lord. And Father, we assure ourselves that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world this morning. Christ in us, the hope of glory this morning. And Father, where we take ownership this morning, Father, I just speak it over every person to take ownership of that area, to say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to live up to that. I'm going to live up to that word, Lord. I'm going to live up to what you ask me to do, Lord. I'm going to stand up and walk, Lord. And whenever I'm confronted with those out there that says it's not possible, or why, Lord Jesus, that I'll be able to say it is possible because Christ said, stand up and walk. And Father, this morning I pray that this church will be a walking church, Lord. Oh God, that we'll be a church that will move in faith, Father, that will move against the impossible, that will move against the norm of the society, Father. We will be a church, Father, where we will move in areas, Father, where others say you cannot go there, Lord Jesus. We'll move in places where the mindsets of people are set, Lord, and we will say, Lord Jesus, but you said we can go there and we'll go there, Lord. Father, we thank you that we'll claim those territory for ours, Lord, because it is yours. And Father, I think what you said to Joshua, that the places where you put your foot down, that is yours. That is holy unto you. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. We just worship him where we are.